Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 172nd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Anna Mikhaškova. She is from a small town outside of Prague in the Czech Republic, and came to Maine in 2005. As a child, she was encouraged by her parents to learn languages and studied Latin, Spanish, and eventually got a master's degree in English language and literature. So glad to have you here. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Anna.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. You've come down from Brunswick. You're an out-of-towner. So many of my guests are from the Portland area.
I came to the big city.
How is it?
It's great.
Not overwhelmed, are you? I went to go see Trevor Noah on Friday, and he said, whenever I fly into a new city, I have them drive me downtown so I can see where I am. And he says, you have four gorgeous blocks of town here.
Yeah, so far I'm good.
So you grew up in the former Czechoslovakia until 1989, in a household where your father was an archivist and your mother was a librarian. And I wonder what kinds of everyday memories you have from your girl's eye perspective of that era of communist rule. What was that like for you and your family?
Some of the memories I have are about the special times when we could get something that was not usually available in my family. There was not much of a variety of goods since not much was imported. So I remember getting bananas or oranges before Christmas, and that was a big day. One day my grandfather got a kiwi fruit, and I remember the whole family would gather around the table and we would all taste this one kiwi fruit.
Kiwi? Oh, kiwi. Sure.
Or I remember one day my mom got a special nougat chocolate for my sister's birthday. That one really stands out in my mind because I ate it all before my sister's birthday came.
Everybody yes, remembers when Anna ate the chocolate?
Yes, I knew the hiding spot.
Was she angry with you?
My mom was, yeah. That was not a good day for me when she found out. And then other memories I have are from school. And at that time, all the schools were state schools. So there were no private schools and, of course, no religious schools. So the school had to adhere to the protocols and curriculum given by the state. We had ceremonies and days when we had to wear the uniform, the communist uniforms. And I remember there was a bit of a strange relationship between my family and the school, since my family didn't subscribe or was not communist. So I knew even at that time that there was something wrong, even as a child. I could sense that. One memory stands out in my mind from the first grade, when the teacher asked us in an art class to paint with watercolors a Russian tank. And I remember I had no clue what a Russian tank was. And I think of the 30 kids in the class, I was the only one who had no clue. And I just looked around and copied other kids, but I was completely confused. And now that I think about it, I think my parents must have been really proud that they managed to shield their kids from some realities of communism.
That strikes me as a little bit funny because here in the United States, when little boys draw tanks, the teachers tell them, you're not allowed to draw that.
Yeah, it was. Now it strikes me, the memory strikes me really funny too. I remember I was so nervous that in the end I would spill my water, my little jar with water, all over the painting. And that was towards the end of 80s. And I think I was onto something. Yeah. Yeah, presenting this blob.
It's a very esoteric look at the tank. Yeah, so were there lines for produce and for bread and things like that?
There were lines, and there were also limits of how much you could buy of some of the produce that was not usually available. Like every person could buy 2 kilos of bananas, about the equivalent of 4 pounds. But of course, you could go back or you could send other family members back. I remember there were also... Thursdays were the days when new books came out, and sometimes there would be lines of people waiting in front of the bookstores, hoping that some books would sneak in through censorship or that there would be something worth reading coming out.
What kinds of books were they being exposed to then?
Well, there were still some good books, but books from Russian literature, let's say, were... promoted, or classics from Czech history would still come out, but books from the Western world would have been limited.
Mm-hmm. I was interested to read that, you know, you commented that there were no religious schools or religious affiliations whatsoever for the most part, but now Czech Republic is one of the least religious countries in the whole world.
That's true, and it's interesting to me because other countries of the Eastern Bloc might not have the same experience. Poland is far more religious than the Czech Republic, so I'm not sure why exactly that is. My family, I don't know if I mentioned that, but I grew up in a religious family. My grandparents are ministers, so I grew up in a parish, and that was an interesting experience for me at school, because by that time Czech Republic was very atheist, and other kids at school would have never been to church or even heard about religion and been exposed to that, so I was very self-conscious about my upbringing. And I remember when my classmates visited me at home, they would be, they had this mixture of awe and perhaps fear when they saw pictures of Jesus. So that was a strange experience.
Yes, you were different in several ways. You know, mm-hmm. your parents were intellectuals, you practiced religion, and you didn't know how to draw tanks. Until 1989, government relied on censorship of opposition. How did your family act to not being people who were targeted by the government as suspicious citizens?
Well, I don't think they quite managed not to be targeted, mostly because, again, because of my grandparents, because they were ministers, and in the 50s in particular, my grandfather, he was taken away to a labor camp for a short amount of time because of his involvement with the church, and that meant that the whole family was targeted, and later on my mother was not allowed to go to university because her parents were ministers. And my great-grandmother, too, she has an interesting history. She was a political prisoner in the 50s, not because of involvement with the church, but she was accused of... keeping people who were trying to leave the country. She lived in the most western town on the border with Germany.
So part of an underground railroad.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she ever did that, but her verdict, which is one of the absurdities of communism, her verdict was she would have done it if she had the chance, and she spent a year in prison.
Yeah, not guilty, but guilty enough.
Yes.
Just because we thought maybe you were. Wow. So your family was really shaped by people being removed and intimidated by the government.
Yes.
So I'm kind of curious about what you observed when your country changed to the Czech Republic from being Czechoslovakia, and when you moved out of communism, how did 10 million people redefine themselves together? And that's such an interesting process to me.
It is an interesting process, and I think it's still a very difficult process. And at that time, I was a child. I was 9 years old, so I didn't think about it in intellectual terms. I remember it was a time of rapid change at school and in the society, and also in my family. We have gone through many changes. Today, from the perspective of living here and coming back, I feel like the Czech Republic is still trying to redefine itself. One of the issues that come to mind today is how do we accept new communities or newcomers into the country? Because for 40 years, Czech Republic was a very homogeneous country. It was white and atheist. And now, today, still, I believe there is a lot of fear in people and mistrust of people who are different than us. And slowly changed a little bit, but today with the refugee crisis, that fear is, in a way, it comes to the surface. I'm sad to see the Czech Republic not quite as open-minded as I would like it. And I know that's a conversation that many other countries in Europe, not just in Europe, have, even though they don't have the same history. But I think in the Czech Republic, there's a lot of room for growth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, room for growth and, mm-hmm. and room for immigrants.
Yes, yeah. And room for the conversations that we need to have to address our own issues from the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are your parents pleased with the changes that have come in their adult lifetimes?
I believe so. I think they are very happy to see opportunities for their kids that they themselves didn't have, like opportunities to travel and to study that they just didn't have.
Did they come here and visit you at all?
Not very often. My mom visited me in Maine. My oldest niece was just here last year. She's 24. It was her first big trip. And for me, it was really interesting to see Maine again through her eyes and in a way remember what maybe I had experienced when I first came.
Yes, it's novel, isn't it?
It is.
Built so differently. Feels different. What did she see that you observed?
She would see, in a way, how welcoming people are. She would comment on how many people talk to me, and I talk to just random people on the street, and she would ask me every time, oh, do you know that person? I said, no. And that's a little bit different, partially because I live in a small town, and I had not had that experience before, and in a big city it's a little bit different, so that was it was nice for me to appreciate that again.
She was surprised, you told me earlier, about there are so many woods, you know, there's so much woodland here.
That is true, and that is wonderful for me still. That never gets old, the nature and landscape of Maine and the variety of woods and mountains in western Maine and the ocean.
Yeah. And you came to Maine in 2005, and very recently, this year, 2018, became a U.S. citizen. So I'm curious what that's like for you during this time of heated immigration debate?
Well, on one hand, it's an incredible privilege to have American citizenship and have a dual citizenship because I remained a citizen of the Czech Republic. So the opportunities that I have and the ability to live in two countries, I think it's an incredible privilege because there are so many people who don't have one safe country. Also, I appreciate being a citizen because Maine has become such a home for me. I've lived here for 13 years, and so this is symbolic for me to be able to vote. That means a lot. To participate, even though it's just one vote, still it means a lot to me. But also, my citizenship would make me think of others, other immigrants or refugees whose path to a legal residence might not be quite as clear. I think there is a special kinship with other newcomers and immigrants, no matter where they are from or what their journey has been. And there are many others whose status is now in question and who I feel are very, just as deserving as I am. When people congratulated me, I felt a little bit of uneasiness, like, okay, don't mention it because I didn't do anything special.
Right, you didn't just happen to be from one of the 13 countries on the
Yes, exactly.
The list. Mm. Yeah, I can imagine that's an awkward feeling when you've been lucky. And also, I recognize that you probably don't have people drive by you and scream out, you know, go back to Africa, which, you know, we can blend in as white people easier than immigrants from other areas. Yeah. So if you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Anna Mikashkova. She's a photographer, a baker, an actor, a knitter, among many, many things. So your life in Maine seems to have invited you into all kinds of new experiences that you didn't expect would lie in your path. Your photography is a big part of that. I wondered if you could describe your art for listeners.
Well, I am a black and white landscape photographer, or a primary landscape photographer. When I travel, I photograph more in the cities, like in Europe or in my hometown. And I work in the darkroom. I do analog photography. So I make my own prints, and the printing part of my art is equally as important as the photography part for me. I guess I call myself a fine art photographer. I don't do any commercial work. Living in Maine has been a big part of me being an artist. Art community in Maine, the landscape. I have found a lot of inspiration here.
Yes, we have snow, which is a lot of white for your black and white.
Black and white right there.
I imagine you get some snow in the Czech Republic.
We do. Yeah. Not a whole lot, but we do get some. We have four seasons, so that was not new for me.
Because this is radio, you cannot see this beautiful print I'm holding up. So I'm going to say, please, if you want to see Anna's photography, you can go to New Mainers Speak's Facebook page, and I've put a link there to her website, which is mikuphoto.com, mikuphoto.com. Or later today, I'll have a hot link there for you on New Mainers Speak's page. So you have two new shows opening very soon. I wonder if you could tell us about your Brunswick show that's opening on March 31st.
Well, that is a two-person show. It's at the Frank Brocknan Gallery on Main Street. It's opening on March 31st. And it's a show that I am personally very proud of. It's a show with my mentor, Paul Caponigro. And he is a very well-known, internationally recognized artist and photographer and a printer. And it's an incredible honor for me to be in a show with him, to have our work side by side. And also matters to me because we have worked together for 5 years, and it has been 5 years of close friendship and learning and hard work and shared joy of photography. So to have this show with him, it really means a lot. And I do believe it will be a beautiful show. It's quite large. We both have 24 photographs there, and I think it'll be worth seeing.
And tell me where it's going to be.
It's the gallery is called Frank Brocknan Gallery. It's on Main Street, I believe 68 Main Street in Brunswick. It'll be up for 3 weeks, and it's opening on March 31st, coming right up.
That sounds pretty wonderful. Do you have a favorite or a favorite series in that show that you can talk about?
There are a few different places that I photographed over the last few years. So I have some work from Maine, landscapes from Maine. There are a few photographs from Europe, from the Czech Republic and from Ireland. And I also have some work from Alaska. I spent 5 months in a very remote town in Alaska 2 years ago. And I have some prints from there.
Some of these are likely the same ones I saw online, is that right? Or are these all new, different ones?
Most of them are new. There might be a couple or few. The ones from Alaska are on my website, but the rest are new.
Wonderful. So you're going to have other prints showing concurrently for some of this, is that right? So there's another show, which I'll be featuring next week with one of the creators, called Migration Experience, and that will be opening in Portland on April 6th. Tell us about that show, too.
That is a group show that features the work of Maine immigrants, and it's co-curated by John Ripton, who is a historian living in Maine, and Kifa Abdullah, whom I believe you interviewed at this show as well. And the show will have photographs, paintings, sculpture. I think during the opening there will also be some music. So again, I think it will be a show worth seeing. Just the variety of artwork is impressive. And I have not seen the work of the other artists, so I'm really excited to see them.
Have you met the other artists?
Only two or three.
Mm-hmm. And I understand they're from all over the world.
Yes.
Some have been on this show and some have not. Of course, I want to get the ones that haven't been on the show on the show. So you know I'll be there, maybe on April 6th for the opening. Where will it be shown?
It will be at the AMVA Gallery on Congress Street here in Portland. It's the, I hope I'm saying it right, the Union of Maine Visual Artists Gallery. And it's close to Mecca, Maine College of Art. I believe the opening is in April 6th. It's a Friday. It would be the first Friday art walk.
The first Friday art walk in April. I'm going to be there. Hope everyone will join me so we can all see Anna's pictures together. Do you have just a couple that are in that show?
I will have four images there. There is one from the Czech Republic and three from Maine.
And what's your hometown called?
It's called Litoměřice.
So do you have some hopes around what you might be doing with your art, say, 5 years from now? And what kinds of things do you want to happen with your photography business going forward?
I have a few plans outside the ultimate goal to get better and better and develop a deeper sense of photography and landscape. I have some more concrete plans, and one of them is go back to graduate school for an MFA degree so that I can teach. My plan has been to tell as many people about it as I can so they hold me to it. So now that I'm saying it on the radio.
you're definitely.
Yes, it'll have to happen. And then also, I'm working on this long-term project, and that's photographing in Alaska. I'm going back to the same area I was this summer to photograph some more. And I'd like to, when I return to Maine, I would like to have an exhibition about, or an exhibition of my Alaska work. And then maybe if I do go back again, publish a book about the area.
Mm. Oh, that is ambitious. I bet they would love that, to have so many beautiful pictures from their small village there.
Yeah, it's a very remote area, very interesting town, and I fell in love with it, and I'm very fortunate to be able to spend more time there.
Yeah. How did you find your way to a small village in Alaska?
Well, I really wanted to go to Alaska, and I really wanted to go to a remote area, so I decided I would find a job there, just any job that would make it possible for me to stay. And I just Googled.
And what is the area?
It's the town is called McCarthy. And it is about an 8 hours from Anchorage at the feet of Wrangell-St. Elias National Park, the largest national park in America. So it's a tiny town in this gorgeous, huge landscape.
And so you're part of the summer help there. And while you're there, there's plenty of light.
Yes,
because it never gets dark, and you can just always go photograph. Oh, I bet that's wonderful. Anna, you are delightfully aware of all you see around you, and now you capture much of that in both mood and image through your silver gelatin photography, so others can appreciate the beauty that you see everywhere. In Alaska,
well, thank
in
you.
Czech Republic, in Maine.
I'll keep doing it.
Who knows where else. I wish you the best with all your creative endeavors here in Maine.
Thank you.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with the song that Anna has chosen for us today. Can you tell us why you picked this song to wrap things up, Anna?
The song is called Proměny, which in Czech means transformations, and it's by the Czech band Čechomor, and they combine a traditional Czech folk song with rock and other musical influences. They recorded this whole CD with the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra, and I love the combination of or the innovation and tradition that they mix together. Also, the instrumental part of this song reminds me the rolling hills in the region where I grew up. And I think it's just a lovely song.
Thank you. It's called Proměny?
Proměny.
Proměny. Mm. Thank you.
Darmo se ty trápíš, můj milý synečku, nenosím já tebe, nenosím srdéčku, přece tvoje nebudu, ani jednu hodinu.
Co pak sobě myslíš, má milá panenko, vždyť jsi to moje rozmilé srdenko, a ty musíš být má, lebo mi tě pán Bůh dá.
A já se udělám malou veveričku a uskočím tobě z duchu na jedličku, přece tvoje nebudu ani jednu hodinu.
A já chovám doma takovou sekerečku, ona mi podetne důbek i jedničku, a ty musíš být jíma, lebo mi tě mám důbek.
A já se udělám tu malou rybičku, a já ti uplynu, preč po Dunajíčku, přece tvoje nebudu ani jednu hodinu.
A já chovám doma takovou hudičku, co na ní ulovím, kde jakou rybičku, a ty přece budeš má, lebo mi tě pán Bůh.